so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Hallelujah. Before you take your seats, if you could just remain standing, Luke 19, 11 to 19. Jesus heals some people with leprosy. Verse 11. Now on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy, someone say 10 men. 10 men who had leprosy met him there. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Come on, they've lost everything. Jesus, have pity on us. In Matthew, we see it was two that called out, Master. Verse 14, when he said to them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. Hey, go show yourselves to the priest. Before they even got to the priest, they were healed. Hey, they didn't even have to get there. Hey, they're taking a faith step. Come on, like many of you today took a faith step. They're taking a faith step. And before their feet even hit the ground, Jesus has met them there and said, you're healed. Go show yourselves to the priest. Before they even got there, they were healed. One of them, when he saw he was healed. One of them. Someone say one of them.
One of them.
10, 2, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. How was he praising God? In a what? In a loud voice. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, hey, somebody make music and praise the Lord in a quiet voice. You notice that? People are like, oh, this church is too loud. I'm not talking about the music, I mean like the people. The people are yelling out. The people are praising. Why? Because everywhere we see in Scripture that someone is thankful, that someone has praise, that someone has faith, they're crying out in a loud voice, and then the walls come tumbling down. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and they marched around the city. One day, every day, and on the seventh day, seven times, and then they all gave a whisper. No, it says, and they all cried out in a loud voice and gave God a shout of praise, and the walls come tumbling down. Amen. If you're new, I'm very easily distracted. Came back and praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself. He didn't just come and bow. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jewish person. He wasn't even from there. And he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? He wasn't confused. He's not like, but wait a minute. Didn't I heal 10? They didn't all get healed? No, he's like, wait, but weren't all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to that man, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we receive your word. And we pray right now that you would use this passage to teach us, to inspire us, to remind us, to encourage us, to help us to go to a new level in our faith and in our relationship with you. God, we commit this time to you to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, man, you really are gorgeous as you take your seats. And all the single people, I really am your wingman today. I will get you married by Christmas. Come on. 2020. Or this one, I don't even care, whatever. That word's for you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm all right. This week, my message is titled, Extra Thankful. Yeah. Extra Thankful. We could really look at it as part two of last week's message. Last week's message, for those who weren't here, last week's message was extra authentic. Excuse me, extra authentic. Let me recap. It was about having an authentic faith, a bold faith, a real faith, about being an authentic church, about being what we really are, amen? And how being authentic actually opens up your life to healing, and it gives you power in your battles, and it'll give you traction in your journey to get where you're called to be. See, who knows that when you're lost, the only way to get where you want to go is to figure out where you are. Like a map book is useless if you don't have some kind of reference point to figure out where it is that you are right now. Now, for the young people in here, like, map book, what's that? Like a GPS, all right? If you're lost and you're trying to get Google Maps to tell you how to get back home or to tell you how to get downtown or to tell you how to get where you want to go, but you won't turn on GPS location services, you ain't gonna get there. It's not gonna help you. Worse yet, if your GPS thinks that you're somewhere else other than where you really are, it's gonna make things worse. Who's had that experience? Like, if it thinks you're somewhere else, all the advice that it gives you is gonna be bad advice, isn't it, right? If your GPS thinks you're on the corner of Ashworth and Valley West Drive and you want to go downtown, it's going to tell you head north and take the fourth right and go east. But if you're actually in Altoona, that's the very worst advice you could ever be given for how to get to downtown Des Moines. Right? In the same way, not being honest about where you are in your life makes everyone else's advice not only wrong, but destructive to you. If people think you're over there and they're trying to help you get over here, but you're really over there, they're gonna give you bad advice. They're gonna send you the wrong way, am I right? See, God designed us to work best in authentic, honest, humble relationships. That's why James said in the Word of God that we should share our sins and our struggles with each other so that we can pray for each other and be healed. See, people can't give you advice or pray for something they don't even know is happening in your life. But being honest and asking for prayer is going to get you so much more traction than just pretending you're already where you wish that you were. I'm using a bit wordy right now, I know, but are you following me, church? Yeah, good, you're not yelling at me as much as I'm used to, so I'm just not sure, you know. Like, wouldn't it be nice to not only look like you've arrived at one of your goals, but to actually arrive at one of your goals, right? And that's going to take humility and authenticity and open and honest relationships with people in your life so they can help you get there, amen? So that's why our church is about being authentic, because there's no perfect people that come to Eternity Church. Like I said last week, perfect people are absolutely allowed to come to Eternity Church, but none have visited yet. And one of the side effects of not being authentic, of not being real, is that we tend to lose and lack a sense of thankfulness. See, when we act like and even think like we're perfect, we start to think we don't need anybody. We start to think we don't need any help. We start to think that every good thing in our lives is because we are just so stinking awesome. Come on, who's ever been there before? I remember when I was in school and I was the skinniest little runt on the planet, and I still thought I was God's gift to women. And I didn't understand why nobody could see me. Because I was so skinny, when I turned to my side, they literally couldn't see me. I was so skinny, I had to run around in the shower just to get wet. Standing still, the needles would go both sides of me and I wouldn't even get wet in the shower. Don't think about it for too long. You know, we start to think we're so awesome. We don't need anybody. And then we get full of pride. We get drawn away from God. And our lives begin to fall apart. But authentic people are thankful people. Because authentic people know where they came from. And they know who brought them out of the valley. As scripture says, they know who it is that reached down and lifted them up out of the miry clay, the dirty mess that we were living in. They are thankful to someone or something for something that has been done in their lives. So back to the lepers, these 10 lepers are healed. Because as we see in Matthew, because two lepers called out to Jesus. See, when you had leprosy or any contagious disease in the Bible days, you lost everything. Like you weren't allowed near people. You weren't allowed to touch people. If your love language was tough, was touch, well, too bad. Ain't nobody gonna love you ever again. Nobody's allowed to touch you. You can't touch anybody. You weren't allowed to work at your job. You couldn't even be a beggar in town because you weren't allowed in town. Now, people looked at you and they assumed that you did something wrong, so God has punished you. Or they assumed that you were with someone you had no business being with, doing something you had no business doing. So your reputation is ruined, your value is gone, your net worth has tanked, your dignity's been crushed, you're a nobody and ain't nobody care about you anymore. Your whole family's not even allowed near you anymore. Now, what's crazy is some people still teach that kind of garbage in the church these days. They say things like, if you've got cancer, you did something wrong. That's a lie from the devil, amen? They say things like, if somebody died young, God took them too soon. Hey, God did not take them. They say things like, if you got sick, you didn't have enough faith to prevent that. And that is all lies from the devil. Jesus said that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life abundantly. Amen. That sickness and disease and brokenness, that comes from the devil, not from God. He's come to give you life, to give you hope, to give you peace, to heal your body. Amen. These lepers, they lost everything, and everybody says that it's their fault. They've lost everything. Everybody's like, it's your fault that you lost this. God is punishing you. They live out of town. Not too far out, though, that they couldn't hear the gossip from the passers-by on the road. They hung out of town, just by the roadways, but keeping a safe distance from people. That's why the Greek word used in this story, it talks about how they didn't just call out, that they yelled out, that they passionately, that they screamed out to Jesus from a safe distance. Because they had heard about this new cat in town that was healing sick people all over the region. And maybe the Jewish people in the group, they remembered the stories that they'd heard about Elisha the prophet who healed a man named Naaman who had leprosy. And so faith begins to rise in some of their hearts. And a couple of them thought, hey, if we can get this cat to notice us, then maybe, just maybe, we could get back everything that the devil has taken from us. So two of them yell out, call out, scream out, Jesus, Jesus, have pity on us. See, you know what? Even if you didn't have to keep a safe distance, even if the rules didn't say you had to stay away, if you lost everything in your life, if you lost your wife, your husband, your kids, you lost your job, you ran over your dog, and your life looks like a country music song, come on. And then you hear about this cat that can give it all back, you'd be yelling out too, amen. Jesus, 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 look at us. Have mercy on us. Look at my life. I know that this is not the life that God planned for me. I know this is not God's best. Have pity on us. You ain't gonna stop until you get the attention of the one that you know can bring everything back that the devil took from you. Can I get an amen? See, in this place right now, some of you feel like the one, like some of you feel like one of those lepers right now. See, maybe it's because everywhere you go, you feel like people are looking at you and they're judging you and they're judging your family and they're judging your kids and they're judging everything about you. Trust me, as a father of five kids, my wife and I, we know what it's like to feel like everybody's judging you everywhere you go. Come on. When you walk in the grocery store and they're like, don't ever let that family back in again. We know what it's like to have your whole family's picture on the security booth saying, this family is not allowed at Trader Joe's ever again, right? Like, I know what it's like to walk around somewhere and feel like everybody's looking at me and everybody's judging me. Everybody's like, why don't you just beat that kid right now? And I'm like, we're in public. And plus, we don't beat our kid. I mean, whatever. Maybe you got face tattoos and right now all the media is going on and on and on and on and on for some reason about people with face tattoos and how they shouldn't get A and they shouldn't get B and they did it to themselves and A, B, and C. And right now, because for some reason it's all over the news everywhere and you're starting to feel conspicuous everywhere you go. Maybe you've just gone through a divorce and you feel like everybody blames you because you're the man. And so it must be your fault. You feel like people are saying if you were a better husband, you'd have been able to keep your family together. A better man could have done it. A better man could have provided. A better man would have been kinder, would have been more compassionate. And you think that everybody blames you everywhere that you go, that eyes are on you. And they're saying to you that you don't deserve a restoration, let alone to become a new creation. Or if you're the ex-wife, you think that everybody's blaming you, looking at you, saying things like, if you had looked after your body better, then maybe he wouldn't have walked out on you. Or if you were more intimate with him, that he wouldn't have looked outside of the marriage for his needs to be met. And you think it's your fault. That's all lies from the devil, my friend. That's all lies. Maybe you feel like the leper because your family is poorer than all the other families in school. And you feel like as you roll up there and your Datsun 180B with a door that's half full enough that everybody's looking at you thinking God's punishing you because you did something wrong. And you don't deserve to be blessed. It couldn't be further from the truth, my friend. Hey, if you're driving a dump truck, be grateful and be the best dump truck driver in town and don't worry about what anybody else is saying about you, amen? It's all lies. You need an encounter with Jesus Christ to set you free of all those lies. You're not being punished by God. But can we be real for a second? Have some real talk? Let's be authentic up in here, okay? Some of you actually really did mess up your life. It's true. Like some of us have made, like in fact, all of us have made some really bad decisions. Some of us have been caught. But some of us have made some really bad decisions and messed up our lives. But let me let you in on a little bit of a secret here. Some of the lepers really did get leprosy by doing something that they shouldn't have been doing with someone they shouldn't have been doing it with. But still, one encounter with Jesus Christ. And they were all healed, all 10 of them. Your fault, her fault, his fault, no one's fault. They all got healed. All 10 are healed from one encounter with Jesus Christ. Because the faith of two of them brought healing to the lot of them. Don't underestimate your faithful prayers for your friends, for your spouses, for your family. Two of them brought healing to 10 of them. Hallelujah. This reminds me of the friends that dug a hole in the roof to get their friends to Jesus. There's a story in the Word of God where, if you're not familiar with it, Jesus is at a sold-out event, right? Like, it's just totally chockers in there. Just to get the people that were in the room, they had to stack them, pack them, and rack them in the room, right? There wasn't a square inch of free space. They couldn't get in there. It was a sellout. In fact, tickets were going for 10 times the price on Ticketmaster or something like that, right? There were scalpers out the front. These guys, they didn't have any money though, so they couldn't get in. And then two of them are like, wait, man, our mate is a cripple. Our mate needs an encounter with Jesus Christ. That dude couldn't walk. He was a beggar. He had nothing. He needed an encounter with Jesus Christ. So you know what they do? These other mates, they get him on his mat thing, and they drag him by rope up onto the roof of some cat's house. And that's not the end of it. Dude didn't have a skylight. So they start digging a hole in the cat's mud roof. People are in the meeting, Jesus is like, it's raining men. As this cat is dropped down from a hole in the roof, his friends drop their mate down from the ceiling, and then he has an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus says, their faith has made you well. Their faith has healed you. Their faith has healed you. Man, if like by the end of the year, if every seat in this place is full, and we're like, you know what, there's, you know, city council and stuff, there's rules about how many people we can put in here, and they don't care about Jesus, they just care about, you know, safety and stuff, which we really should care about too. And so we can't get any more people in here. And we've even got it full out there, and there are people in the aisles, and there's not a seat left. And somebody's like, hey, my mate needs an encounter with Jesus. So they climb up onto our roof, and in the middle of my message, we start hearing grrr, as a grinder is cutting a hole in our roof. Sparks are flying everywhere. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have to take a moment with Jesus, because at first I'm going to be like, dude, you cut a freaking hole in our roof. And it's going to snow next week. I'm going to take a moment with Jesus. I'm going to have an encounter with Jesus so I can come back and pray for that dude to be healed in Jesus' name. That's what's happening here. The love of the faith of the friends have healed all 10 of these lepers. Two of them cry out, 10 of them are healed. Jesus didn't ask them, hey, how did you mess up your life, son? What did you do? Your fault? Not healed. Not your fault? Healed. No, he just healed them all in Jesus' name. One encounter in the presence of God, and their lives are changed forever. They're free to go back to their communities. One encounter with Jesus Christ, their marriages can be restored. Their dignity has come back. Their health has been restored. Their anxiety is gone. Their minds are set free. One encounter with the presence of God, and everything in their lives is changed. You got to be real about the fact that you got leprosy, or you feel like you got leprosy. Yo, I got leprosy. I feel like I got leprosy. God, I know this is not your best for my life. Have mercy on me, and you will be set free. They're all set free, and then they went on their way. But this is the critical moment in the story where the lives of the lepers begin to differ. You see, 9 lepers went one way with their lives, while another leper's life, story, and faith went a whole nother way. 9 lepers went away and got on with their lives, incomplete. And 1 leper remembered why his life came back together. 9 lepers walk away like they found the cure to leprosy, acting like they healed themselves. But 1 leper come back and worship Jesus, thanking him for all that he has done in his life. He cries out in a loud voice, giving praise to God, thanking him. God, you brought my life back together. I feel like these other lepers walked away, and while they had a finger fall off, and while one of them had their leg fall off, and one of them didn't have an ear left anymore, one of them didn't have a left nipple anymore, I don't know what was going on. Stuff was falling off these guys left, right, and center, but then they got healed. But their legs didn't grow back, and their fingers didn't grow back. They walked away incomplete. God had more miracles that he wanted to do in their lives. Come on. They were all men, just for the sake of the past comments in the story, just so you know, God bless you. I have met so many people like those 9 lepers. People who are down and out. Their spouse left them. Their marriage is on the rocks, maybe. People who have started business after business after business with zero success. People who are sick. People who have lost their jobs. Lost their house, their life is an absolute mess. but then they have an encounter with the living God. And everything starts to change in their lives. Their marriage is being restored. Their kids actually like it when they come home. Their wife and kids are like, yes, you're home. Or their husband and kids are like, yes, mum's home. And their bodies are being healed. And anxiety that's plagued them for years is gone. And hope is filling their hearts. They got a job. They're tithing and inviting God into their finances. They found financial freedom. They brought a house. They got a promotion at work. Their business is finally successful. And then they stop talking about who it was that brought them out of the chaos and the mess that they were living in. And then thankfulness leaves their hearts, and before long, they don't tithe anymore, they don't pray anymore, they don't thank God or thank anyone anymore, they stop attending church. Now the money that has come has now become a distraction. The marriage that was saved and being restored has now become a burden to them. The kids that loved them again now think that they're a hypocrite now. If only they remained authentic and thankful to the one who made them what they are. Thankfulness. What did Jesus say to the leper who came back? Your faith has made you well. What was different about his faith and the other nine lepers' faith? Or at least the other one guy who called out with him's faith? What was different about his faith and their faith? See, his faith was made complete in thankfulness. Faith is made complete in thankfulness. Your faith is made complete in your thankfulness. Amen. See, I know the story of the other nine oh too well. They forget about the one who made them. They forget about the one who protects them. They start to act like they are the reason that life is so good. They've grown a big church, and they start to think that I'm the reason that my church has grown from this to this. You know why our church has grown? Yeah, I've had a lot of faith, big faith, ambitious faith. And I've been obedient to God, and I've worked hard, and y'all have joined me on that mission, and it's been great, but God has poured out his favor on our church. Amen. It's not what I said, it's not what you said, it's that we were obedient and faith-filled, and we worked hard, and God poured his favor out, and the church is growing. They forget and start to think that they're the reason their church grew so big. They're the reason that their business is successful, even though after 100 failures, they coincidentally started succeeding after inviting God into their life and finances and business. Let me tell you about those people. Their lives will not be well. It will not be well with their souls as they walk away from the presence of God. God is not punishing them, saying, you walked away, you're not thankful. Die! That's not God. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life, and you need to come to me so you can have life. So they walk out of his favor. They walk out of his protection. And they walk out of his blessing. And they wind up with leprosy again. When you forget about the one who made you complete, you become incomplete. See, real authenticity is thankful to the God that made you who you are. Real authenticity is thankful for the wife that you have. Real authenticity is thankful for the husband that you have. Thankful for the kids that you have. Thankful for the job that you have. Thankful for the car that you have. Some of y'all in here got to go home and be thankful for that beige Camry that you're driving. Come on. Be thankful it's not a beige Datsun 180B. Someone else has got to be thankful for that Datsun. You've got to be thankful for the church that you're in. Thankful for the friends that you have that gather around you. And that spirit of thankfulness makes their faith complete. And they will say, it is well with my soul. Yeah. Hallelujah. If it isn't well with your soul when you're at work, you need to get a hold of thankfulness. If when you go to work, just your soul becomes weary, you need to get a hold of thankfulness. If when you go home, your soul feels weary, you need to get a hold of thankfulness. In your marriage, you need thankfulness. In your finances, you need thankfulness. You need to begin to speak and live in a spirit of thankfulness. Amen. Even if at first it's pure faith. You know, like, I'm thankful for my wife. Right? Like even if at first it's pure faith. What does Scripture say that faith is? Calling things that are not as though they are. And then things that are not will become as they are. Amen. Some of us need a thankfulness that's a declaration and prophecy of faith in our lives. I'm thankful for this job. I'm thankful for this wife. I'm thankful for this husband. I'm thankful for these kids. Even though they left the tap on and overflowed the bathroom upstairs, and I didn't know that it flooded the flooring underneath it, and now there's mold, and it's going to cost $20,000. God, I'm thankful. Giving thanks for the things that you already have. Amen. I don't want to be the guy that's like, God, gimme, 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 gimme. I want to be the guy that says, hey, God, thank you for this, and thank you for that, and thank you for that victory, and that victory, and that victory. And God, I am faithfully going to step out in faith into this coming victory in Jesus' name. Thankfulness. Let's look for things to thank God for this week, this Thanksgiving week. Look for things to thank our spouses for. Someone needs to thank God for their boss on Monday. Someone needs to thank God on Monday. Your boss is back there? No. Someone needs to go and thank their boss for the job. Someone needs to thank their teachers this week. And thank God for their teachers on Monday. Thank you, God, that I live in a place that has teachers. And a school with a heater. Come on. Someone needs to thank their kids this week. Someone needs to thank their neighbors this week. Come on, out of a spirit of thankfulness. God, I'm thankful. You'll be able to say, it is well with my soul. You want to stay blessed or be blessed, then be thankful. Come on, if you receive that word, would you stand up right now and give the Lord a shout of thanks, a praise offering right now in this place? Come on. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make Him the Lord and Savior of your life, okay? I want to tell you right now that God is good. He only does good. I said it earlier. Jesus said that I have come that you may have life and life abundantly. Some translations say life and life to the fullest. Life and the best life. He didn't come to punish you. He didn't come to hurt you. In fact, He said after He came that there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I'm asking you to give Jesus Christ your life. Invite God into your life. God designed you, Dion. God designed you, my friend. God designed every one of you. He loves you. He has a great plan for your life. Every one of you, He has a great plan for your life. You are not an error. You are not a lucky monkey that walked out of the jungle and grew a brain all of a sudden. God planned you. You are on purpose. You have purpose. In the beginning, I don't know whether you believe it was 7,000 years, 7 million years, or 7 billion years. I don't much care at all about how long ago it was. I care about who it was that pulled the trigger. Amen. And when God made you, when God said in the beginning, let us make mankind in our image, he thought of you and he planned to bless you and he planned a brilliant and a wonderful life for you. And today he wants you to say yes to him and yes to that blessed, wonderful, planned, purposeful life. So I'm going to pray a prayer, one line at a time, and I want you to repeat it with me and believe it in your heart. Scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. It does not say, walk like the pastor, talk like the pastor, dress like the pastor, stop doing A, B, C, start doing D, E. It doesn't say any of that. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. So I want you to pray that prayer with me right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life and start living the life, the good life, the blessed life, the better life that God designed for you. Amen. So everybody in this room, so that nobody prays it alone, everybody in the room, especially those who have given their lives to God and those who've walked away, repeat after me in a bold voice, dear God, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin. He rose again to give me hope, joy, peace, life, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. And I receive this new life with you as Lord and Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it. Extra special just for me in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we believe that you were born again. That means Scripture says that you are now a new person, a new creation. The old is gone. You are brand new. You've been given a second chance. Praise God. And now I want to pray for you that God will bless you, walk with you, and help you become all that God has designed you to be. So if everyone in the room could close their eyes and bow their heads, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time and you're giving your life back to Jesus Christ, I'm going to count to three. I want you to lift up your hand so that I can pray for you. I want to pray a prayer of blessing on your life. So while no one's looking around at all, on the count of three, lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift them up all over this place. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 hands, 21 hands coming up right now. Come on, praise the Lord in this place. 21 people giving their lives to Jesus Christ. Give him a shout of praise. You can put your hands down, but now I want everybody to reach out their hands in faith as we pray for those 21 people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those 21 people. God, I thank you that you are a good God, that you love them, that you want to bless them, that from the very beginning you have known them, you have planned to bless them, and you are excited that there is a party going on in heaven as people have come home today. God, I pray right now that you would break shame and pain and fear and hurt from past mistakes or things that have been done to them or around them. God, I pray you break it off in the name of Jesus Christ, and that Holy Spirit, you would come and seal salvation, that you would come and that you would bless them, that you would fill their hearts and their minds with hope, with joy, with peace. Peace that makes no sense in any situation. God, I pray that at this very second, that you would flood their heart with joy. They'd walk out these doors in just 6 minutes with a pep in their step, thankful that the God of the universe will never leave them or forget about them. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't ever doubt what God can do in an authentic environment in church. Amen. We ain't pretending to be anything but what we are. and God is using it to win the lost. God bless you. If you prayed that prayer, you're one of those 21 people, I'd love for you to text the word SAVE to the number 25827. By doing that, that's just going to give us the opportunity to bless you again this week. We're going to send you a gift card to a local coffee shop in the mail. Not a buy one, get one free gimmick like that. No, it's just cold, hard value, all right? So we're going to send that to you along with a Bible and a CD of the worship, the type of worship that we sing here at Eternity Church. Those three things will really bless your life. The Bible is a blessing. The worship is a blessing, and we all know caffeine is a blessing as well. And so we're going to send you that this week. Text the word SAVE to number 25827. Before we open up the front for prayer, though, we're going to take up this morning's tithes and offerings. What we're going to do, though, the buckets are going to go past in just a minute. But what we want you to do before you come down for prayer, if you could just wait till after the bucket has passed you. It's not because we're money hungry or some garbage like that. It's so it doesn't get dropped or lost and we don't know what's going on. We just want to have a little bit of order in the place, amen. And so for everyone who came here prepared to give their tithes, their weekly tithes, I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you as you give in this offering as well right now. And then after that, after the offering goes past, please, be like the lepers that had the faith to call out to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, I need you. If you come to church wishing that anything in your life was different, trust me, God cares about that. He's either going to help you see the good or he's going to do a miracle in your life. Either way, today you will leave feeling blessed and noticed by God if you'll just come down the front and get prayer. If you need a healing in your body, relationships need work, finances need work, you need some wisdom or guidance, come down the front, get prayer. Be like the lepers that called out, Jesus, have mercy. But for everybody else, I want to pray for you right now. Just hold your hands out in faith as I pray for every faithful giver in this place. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your people. God, I thank you for their faithfulness day in, day out. Faithfulness week in, week out, year in, year out. God, I thank you that you are faithful to us as well. And I pray that like it says in Malachi, that as we give our tithes, that you are protecting us, that you are protecting our stuff, and you are causing opportunity and blessing to flow in our lives. I pray, make that real in every one of their lives, and I pray for a blessing on them. But God, I'm just so thankful for their faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise as we continue to worship and take up today's tithes and offerings. God bless you. Come on.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.